Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Two major proponents Two major proponents of the Shankya theory of reflectionism, Vijnana Bhikshu and Vachaspati Misra, hold differing views. According to Vijnana Bhikshu, the knowledge of an object takes place when there is a reciprocal reflection of the self in the intellect having been modified into the form of the object, and of the intellect in the self. The senses contact the object and supply the impression of it to the mind, which transmits this impression to the intellect. The intellect then becomes modified by the object, but because the intellect is unconscious substance, it cannot analyze the experience of the object by itself. Its predominance by sattva-gun, however, enables the intellect to be reflected in the self, and the self is in turn also reflected in the mirror of the intellect, which contains the modification of the object. In this way, the intellect then experiences the object. This theory of reflectionism is also accepted by Vyas in his commentary on the Yoga Sutras. Right, so this reflection. So basically what you're trying to establish is your problem is, because if we think about it, you know, this is the problem, because how is the mind and the intelligence, you know, seemingly conscious? Because it's dead matter. You know, we go on having very wonderful conversations, lengthy conversations, arguments, all kinds of things in our head. What's going on? Your mind and your intelligence are arguing with each other or discussing, right? One is all the, you know, the needs and the sentiments and the attachments, and one of the other one is all the logical stuff. You know, no, if you do it this way, then, you know, things will work out. No, but, you know, it's so important. I got to have that. How can they do this to me and this and that? No, but this is the way you have to do it. Like, you understand? That goes on, you know, every day in your head, right? So, then, but how is dead matter seemingly conscious, right? So that's what this reflectionism then deals with, right? So this reflectionism means then the senses are bringing in knowledge, right? That's bringing into the mind. The mind then filters through that which ones it is interested in. Right, because at any one time, so many things are happening. Like, you can hear, there's a cricket over there, there's kids up there yelling and screaming, there we're talking here in the class. You know, something else is going on over there, but the mind reduces it down to just what's going on in the class, if you're focused. If you're not, then it may catch the cricket, it may catch this and that, but it'll focus on something. Right? That then goes into the intelligence, because from there you have to catch from the memory of the intelligence. What do you know about that? So how to deal with that? Is that good? Is it not good? Is it something you like or not? Like that. Then the problem is then how does the intelligence give any ideas to the mind? Also, if it's dead matter, right? So that means then it itself having that means when the mind brings these things in from the senses, that goes into the intelligence. The intelligence becomes modified according to the senses. Right, because now it has to think according to what is the senses. So then it being modified by that then is reflected, is reflected on the soul, and the soul is similarly reflected onto the intelligence, because they're right next to each other. Right? That's where then that ability for it to be able to function comes from. So it reflects the light of the soul, right? Because it being in goodness, therefore it is close to the soul. So then there's a connection, because goodness means knowledge, that lightness, that fineness, all those different things are there. Does that make sense? Its activity in the world is acting through passion. So it's created from the mode of passion in that way. But its original being establishment, or the buddhi coming from the, the mahat-tattva, then that element, that's all in sattva, because the primary creation is basically sattva. Because it's happened before the modes are really taking any effect there. Right? So the secondary creation, then that's where your observable things are there. So this principle of buddhi is there. Does this make some sense? Yeah. So then, therefore, the ability of the intelligence, and therefore down to the mind and the senses, to work is because of the reflection of the soul. So that's actually what's going on. But we, in illusion, think it's the dead matter that's doing all these things. But actually it's just a reflection of the consciousness of the soul onto matter, that it appears to be conscious and appears to be doing things, appears to be giving experiences and that. Otherwise, how does dead matter experience? It doesn't. It's only because of the reflection of the soul. Right? Very subtle there. So in the same way, it's just like the whole material manifestation. It's a reflection of the spiritual world. That's why it appears that all these forms and everything are natural for us. Because the spiritual world, trees are in the ground, the roots are in the ground, the leaves are out of the ground, there's water, fish are in the water, they don't fly around in the air. Birds fly around in the air, they're not, digging in the mud or, swimming in the water. You know what I'm saying? All those things are what's going on here. So, because it's reflected from there here, it appears to be alive. So it's the same principle. So that's on the greater, and the specific for us, how we're perceiving and how we're dealing is the consciousness of the soul is being reflected into the material, your material sphere, through the intelligence into the mind, into the senses, and like this. Does this make some sense? So this is reflectionism. So this way then is accepted in the Yoga Sutras, then by Vyas, like that. Now let's see what Ditya Vachaspati says. Yes.
Does the intelligence also work because Krishna's qualities have entered into it?
Of course, that is there, but that's the point is what they. Yeah. Okay. So what we are perceiving in there is also then, like you're saying, is Krishna, right? Krishna's, so his energies manifest what's here. So, the energies are conscious, but what they're manifesting through is dead matter. You understand? Dead matter is part of the chit potency. You understand? Krishna is there. He's the complete whole. So that means, as Purusha is complete whole, as Prakriti, then there's the complete whole. Right? And so this complete whole, that's known as the chit potency, or we call Sarup Shakti. So Sarup Shakti then, it includes internal, external, and jivas. So everything is there in that potency. Right? So that potency, when it's interacting with Krishna, then in the spiritual world will manifest as a spiritual manifestation. And here will manifest as the material manifestation. Yes? Yeah. So that kind of thing then works. So Krishna then he enters it. So the whole thing is that the Brahman is that light of the spiritual world. So that's entering things. So therefore we think something's going on. Because the point is it's not so much this interaction that's important. You think something's important. What you're working with is the intelligence. So the intelligence can function and perceive these things because of the reflection of the soul. But the things that you're perceiving, the sense objects, you're able to find something there of value because Krishna's entered it. Right? Does that make sense? So the ability to perceive things, that is coming from the reflection of the soul. what you are perceiving, that's Krishna. So in both cases, you're dealing with dead matter. And we're thinking it's dead matter that's interacting, but it's not interacting at all. You know, it means maybe some interaction, but it's not, the experience is not gained from the dead matter. The experience is gained because the soul, his consciousness, is coming in contact with Krishna and, I mean, with Vishnu and Lakshmi in the forms of this world. In other words, our perception is from, due to our consciousness. What we're perceiving is Lakshmi Narayan. So that's reality. Illusion means we think it's the dead matter that's doing all this. Does that make sense? Right, so all that there is going on is the living entity is perceiving and interacting with Lakshmi Narayan. That's what's going on. But because it's being done through the medium of dead matter instead of the spiritual energy, therefore we think it's just dead matter. So that's the illusion. You understand? That's why this principle of everything's coming from Krishna, everything's connected to Krishna is very real. It's not a theory. That's only what's going on. It's not like, well, that's an option. No, that's all that's going on. But the difficulty comes is we due to our material attachment, then we think what we're perceiving is the dead matter, and what we're experiencing is caused by that dead matter. But what's actually happening is the what we're perceiving is actually there because of the interaction between Lakshmi and Narayan. Right? And our ability to perceive it is coming from our own consciousness. So it's not coming from the dead matter. Like that. It means the dead matter is functioning because of our consciousness, and the dead matter in this world is moving and functioning because of the entrance of the Lord. Does that make some sense? Yes?
In this process, where does the super soul come?
This is perception only. Now, what are you going to do with this perception? Well, two things. One is because the Lord sees, you can see. So this whole process is going on because His consciousness is reflected in everything. Then you're conscious of what you want of it because of your own. Like that. So it's the same thing we've got there. And now, what do you, because this is Brahman understanding, but their only interest is Brahman level. So they don't go beyond this. Only in Patanjali will the super soul be introduced. Right? So now, the super soul means, what are you going to do with this? You know what I'm saying? So they're not even so interested in why you're attracted and this and that, because why do we explain this part? Right? In other words, why is it important to understand that what you're attracted to in this world is actually the Lord? Why is it important? Our relationship with the Lord. But what is our relationship with the Lord?
As a servant.
And servant, and what is our mood of service? Nectar of devotion. Huh?
Devotion,
but favorable without karma and jnana, right? So, therefore, we see the Lord in everything because our ultimate goal is to get to the Lord. So that means whatever level we're working on, you know, whether it's mundane, the Brahman level, Parama, like this, is that Krishna is actually the goal. It's illusion to think it's otherwise. And Krishna is the goal means Bhagavan. We're not satisfied to stop at the Bhagavan or Paramatma level. Right? So we're starting there, so we see him as a person and then move. In other words, the person is doing this, but besides that, the person is also the person. You know what I'm saying? It's like the husband deals with the wife because, you know, he's the high court judge. No, because he's the husband. Right? But it's not that he's not a high court judge and doesn't do all those things. But that's not what's important to him in the relationship with his family. You understand? So, therefore, Krishna as God creates the universe, enters everything, is between everything. You know, all these things is nice. But that's what he does as God. But the actual, that intimate dealing with his devotees, That's what's important to him. Right? So therefore, we bring these things out so you can see this. So whatever it is that's bewildering you, you can actually see is that it's actually Krishna. So it's Krishna you're looking for, not the dead matter's not there. Right? You know what I'm saying? And then, back from that, then how are we perceiving that if we're working through dead matter? This is the way. Because you say, well, if they've entered it, okay, that's nice, but how do we, with dead matter senses and stuff, how do we perceive it? Because they're a reflection of the consciousness of the soul. So then it's consistent. The soul is perceiving, you know, Lakshmi Narayan. Right? So then it stays there. But they're not interested in that. So they only have to work out, I'm entangled in this world because of the process of how my perception of it. Right? So therefore, if I stop this process, then I don't have any problems. So in this philosophy, they'll bring it up how you're seeing things. Because all they're worried about is themselves. Right? But they're not going to go to the point of understanding what they're perceiving. Does that make sense? So you can see in these philosophies, that's why then they are, it's not that they're, the technical knowledge that they give is wrong. The problem is the technical knowledge is not complete because it does not come up to the point of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why Rupa Goswami says, mental speculation that does not conclude in worship of the Supreme Lord, that's useless. He doesn't say mental speculation is useless. Right? He doesn't say attachment's useless. It's attachment that doesn't end in Krishna, that's useless. And jnana that doesn't end in Krishna, that's useless. Right? So, yeah, so that means, because then we say, no, karma and jnana are useless, then we think karma and jnana function separately than God. No, it's karma that's not connected to the Lord is useless, and jnana not connected to the Lord is useless, because everything is coming from Krishna. So if we don't connect it to Krishna, that's illusion. So we just say, oh, karma is useless, but how can karma be useless if it's coming from God? Right? So the point is its connection to God or not? That's the whole point. Does that make sense? So that's what we're trying to bring out. This is the subtlety that is there, because, see, we're so used to religionists and moralists and all these other things that the activity itself stands on its own. This is good. He gave in charity. He helped the poor. Right? He didn't, you know, cheat on his taxes. He's a good man. But why is that good? By what standard? And on the platform of Arthashastra, yes, it's good, because if he's nice like that, means that everybody else has an opportunity that they can also be prosperous. Whereas he's very self-centered and everything, then it's not. Does that make sense? So that's the basis of it being good, is that it's actually good for Artha. Right? And we take Artha as religion. A nice sensual experience, somebody, a selfless work. These are all spiritual, conceived of as spiritual epiphanies. You know what I'm saying? When they don't even get up to the platform of religion. You know what I'm saying? There's sub-religion. So this whole point of these things are so you can actually tell what's going on. And we don't make these mistakes. But because they're only interested in the Brahman platform, they only take it up to there because it's energies that are going. And the creation they're not so worried about, because if the creation is coming from the Brahman, then they would have some value. But since they don't want to respect and deal with Brahman in a worshipable way, because that means two, they're trying to make it one, that means you don't. All you do is deal with yourself. And so, therefore, you're the light, you're the way, you're the, what's the other one? Truth. The truth, yes. And so, because of that, then you are working here, and so, therefore, you just reverse that process, and you, I guess, merge into your own light and way and truth, right? Does that make sense? So that's where we see is how you can discern what is of value in these and what is not. What's not of it, because they don't go far enough. But they very nicely explain technicalities of our own philosophy. It's already explained here. We don't have to explain it separately. Does that make sense? No, that's the idea. Yes.
So, you mentioned that by studying these things that we can understand that what we're really perceiving in everything is Lakshmi Narayana.
Yes.
Does that mean that we're understanding Lakshmi Narayana as the principle of, for example, masculine and feminine?
Yeah, that's the original. It's original. That masculine and feminine principle is God in His creation. That's Purusha and Prakriti. That's where it starts. Everything, because it's made out of that and is the combination of that, all elements, everything that is perceivable like that is then divided into these two categories. And it will work according to the same principles. The difference is there it's a matter of based on, you know, natural love for each other. Here it's based on a natural, you know, how you say, spontaneous love for ourselves. Right? So that's where the perversion comes in. So then bad qualities come up, all these different things. But it's still, the formula works the same. You know what I'm saying? You know, old lady drives the car to the market. It works on the same, the car works on the same principles as, you know, her grandson gets into it and takes it out in the back roads and, you know, races it around. It's still the same principles. It's not something different. They're saying the car is a car. It works according to that. Your mentality then decides whether it's, you know, the family car or it's, you know, you're the race car. You know, does that make sense? So that's what's going on. So all that there is Krishna. There isn't something else. Because if He's God and He's everything, that's all there is. Everything is contained within Him. So it's just different aspects of Himself. So therefore, He is the complete Godhead. He is His complete energy. Right? And that energy then has the internal, which is favorably interacting with Him, the external, which is dead matter, and the jiva, which can either choose to go this way. So all these four aspects, these are Godhead, eternally. Right? So now it's just a matter of understanding that's actually what's going on. But if we think that matter functions on its own separately, and we're the Lord of it, then you end up with all these philosophies. Right? And these are the really well thought out, smart ones. Then you get all the Western ones that are extremely speculative. You know, and who knows what their purpose is. Socrates would speak, you know, what he thought, the absolute truth, we have to bring ourselves in line with that, this and that. At that time in Greek culture, speaking that kind of blunt truth was not orthodox. It's not something you did. Right? You know, they had their gods, they had their karmakanda, you know, elements, they, you know, enjoy life, this, that, blah. Because in all these people, the interesting thing is the Greek and Roman gods, you worshiped them, did so much for them, you didn't go get some benefit after death. You know what I'm saying? You do something, you might get some benefit now. They like you, they'll do something for you now. They're busy with their own life. You know, running around and, you know, chasing each other and harassing each other and killing each other and all that. So you can worship and they'll interface with you. But there's no long-term benefits. Isn't that far out? Never think about it. There's nothing there. So that's it. So to speak about this an absolute, which it was very unorthodox. So many people didn't appreciate this. So it was like either he goes or, you know, there's problems. So he went. Now one of his main disciples was Plato. Now Plato picked up the thing of the illusion of the world and the higher forms and this and that. That aspect of him. But this element of the absolute truth, that he dropped because that's what got his guru killed. So therefore, in Plato, he doesn't talk about it like that. But he still talks about the higher and this and that. But the higher doesn't really mean anything without having the absolute truth. You know, why worry about illusion if you're not trying to get to something higher? So Aristotle, then, from hearing from Plato, he emphasized what's going on here. You understand? The natural digression. So, problem is, Plato, either for his own self-preservation or lack of realization, didn't understand what, or didn't present, or didn't preach what Socrates preached. Only part of it. You know? So that was clear, because it was clear absolute truth. Aristotle is clear like intellectual materialism. Like that. But Plato is something in between. Does that make sense? You know, it gives rise to the other because it's not connecting with the absolute truth. So it's either absolute or the material world. You don't really have anything in between. Does that make sense?
Both were the major influence of Christian theology from this St. Thomas of Aquinas.
Yeah, no, it's a lot. They had a lot to do with them. Plato and that was
like the idea that animal have no soul is from Plato.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So all these different things they get from these people, you know, when philosophy and science and religion weren't really separated, they only became separated later. And, you know, when people weren't so, I don't know, inclined towards philosophy or stuff or the sentiment or, you know, the emotions were such that it wasn't the major element, then they didn't have philosophies to keep people busy. So that at some point, then philosophy and religion had to diverge. Like that. So it's a, you know, problem. Yes.
So having understood, at least theoretically, that we're looking for Lakshmi and Narayan and everything, and having understood that...
Well, you're only saying Lakshmi and Narayan, what you're looking for is Krishna.
Yeah, but...
Lakshmi is the form.
But do we... Is it that we contemplate these principles while we're acting from day to day?
If you can, then you can see what's going on. You can see the inner mechanics of things as you're using it. If not, at least before or after, like that, these things are contemplated. So it starts to have that effect on your consciousness. Because you're dealing with something because of your own attachments to it. But what you're actually attached to is not the dead matter, it's actually Krishna. And Lakshmi has taken that form to serve Krishna. Right? So actually our business in dealing with that form of our attachment is to use it in Krishna's service. Because the form is Lakshmi, that she's come to serve Krishna. So we can assist her in her service to Krishna. So everything you see is meant to be used in Krishna's service. Right? So the point is, if you can use it directly in Bhagavan level, then that's the best. But if not, then you can start to understand the Brahman or Paramatma level of what's going on. So I'm attached to this, want to work with this because there's some quality there, you know, in it that I'm attracted to. That quality is Krishna. That form that you are attracted to, you know, that's Lakshmi. But if you see this process as that, if Krishna's there and it's Lakshmi, and so I engage it in Krishna's service favorably for his, then it's Krishna. If not, then it's Mahamaya. Right? Because Lakshmi is not going to be dealt with, you know, inappropriately.
And the difference between the material and spiritual world is just that Lakshmi is manifesting either inferior or superior form.
Yeah, the superior more means it's the internal potency, and inferior means it's external
because
potency.
Krishna, the quality is always the same, right?
That's there. That's there. Yes, but...
Just like a strength, he is manifesting in this way, but when you have like these big iron, you know, these big skyscrapers and the strength...
It's just instead of bricks, it's in steel.
Yeah, so
in other words, strength is the same, it's still Krishna.
Yeah.
But in that high rise, then it is Krishna. Lakshmi is taking the form of steel, you know, girders, and here she's taking the form of bricks.
And in the spiritual world, then spiritual,
it'll be that still that same form, but it'll be made. It's made out of internal potency, so it's conscious. See, what you have to understand is that you have the Sarup Shakti. Right? Which is the complete total energy. Then Krishna's qualities are there. And so depending upon Krishna's qualities, she manifests the forms to serve those qualities. So the spiritual world, you do that through internal potency. In the material world, you do that through external potency. But because it's the same person, therefore the external potency can act as if it is internal potency, because it's the same person you're dealing with. Yogamaya and Mahamaya are the same person, just two portfolios. So as Krishna, like Krishna and Vishnu are the same person, but he'll expand, you know, so he does both at the same time. He's still the same person, but the mood is different. It's the same way Yogamaya and Mahamaya are the same person, just two expansions with two different moods. So that means how you deal with her is how she'll reciprocate.
And another thing is, if you see everything in connection with Krishna, then for Krishna to reciprocate, that means that mood, that he is the first, that the common jnana is not.
No, he'll reciprocate however you deal with him.
No, but when will he start to actually reciprocate? When we do everything for him?
He reciprocates always. It's a matter of what kind of reciprocation.
Yeah, but the more. Well, I guess the reciprocation that the soul is looking for.
And what is that?
Love, basically.
So that's. And what do we call that? Bhakti, devotion. Understand, in all this intellectual gymnastics we're going through here, the point is to come to that point. Krishna always reciprocates with you. You want to brush your teeth, then he arranges through the modes of nature that you can figure out where your toothbrush is, where your mouth is, where the toothpaste, which end of the toothbrush to hold on to. You know, how to get the tube of toothpaste open, how to get it squoze onto the toothbrush, how to get it into your mouth, and how to push it around. Krishna's arranging all that. He's reciprocating with you. Now, if you're not thinking of him, then it's just neutral. You want to do this, then it's done. But if you're thinking of Krishna in devotion, then he's reciprocating in devotion.
How can, for example, brushing your teeth be connected with love and devotion for Krishna? How does that
work? Why do you brush your teeth? So that your girlfriend will kiss you?
But hygiene.
Hygiene. And, but why do you want hygiene? So your girlfriend won't run off?
For pleasure of the Vaishnavas, not smelling bad.
Okay. And why don't you want to smell bad to the Vaishnavas? So that they don't run away and you feel, you know, like an outcast. So it's for your own social prestige.
For Krishna's pleasure.
And how will it be for Krishna's pleasure?
Because his Vaishnavas are pleased.
Vaishnavas are pleased, okay. So yes, that's a good way. So if that's good enough. But you can also take it that Krishna, you know, as being the supreme pure, then how are you going to interact with him if you're not clean? Because otherwise, what's your common ground? Friendship means there's a common element. You know what I'm saying? Like two wealthy persons or powerful persons or influential or famous, you know, or celebrities. There has to be some basis for it. You know what I'm saying? That there's a common. So here, then he's the supreme pure, so therefore you're pure. Right? Then you can interact with him. He likes things clean. He's clean. He likes things clean. You know? And then the same way as the Vaishnavas, because they're clean, because they're serving Krishna, they don't want to be hanging out with someone who's not. You understand? So therefore, cleanliness is the quality. You know? Or hygiene, then you're looking at it connects with health. So the health, then you're healthy, you can serve Krishna. Right? If you're not healthy, very hard to serve. Right? You can do mentally, but physically, body, mind, and words are engaged. So therefore, if you're healthy, then you have all those three facilities. Right? So therefore, Krishna's hygiene or Krishna's cleanliness. So therefore, then what are the forms that it takes? Lakshmi takes what forms to manifest cleanliness? Brush your teeth, you know, the toothbrush, all these different things and that. The process of, because she is the process, right? She is the element, she is the process, but Krishna is the goal. Right? So therefore you clean your teeth and they're clean, right? But that means you just brush your teeth and you're done. Anything else you have to do after you brush your teeth?
Tongue.
Okay, and then?
Water.
Water, and what are you going to do with the water? Rinse, yes. Rinse your mouth, Right, you know, then your mouth's clean. So that far, so is that good enough now? You walk around with a big smile and everything. That's good enough, you know?
Minty fresh.
Huh? Minty fresh. Yes. Like, so is that good enough?
Bath.
Then you have to take a bath. Then it's all, then, you understand? So all these things are connected to that whole process. So then the process of taking a bath, that's Lakshmi. Right? And so to do that, then, you know, it's either a pump or a bucket or shower or things like that. So that's why it's not there for your pleasure. It's there to, so you get clean for Krishna. So it doesn't mean you don't take a bath. It means you do it for Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So therefore, serving the Lakshmi in the form of the shower head, then you are taking your bath so that you can be clean for Krishna. So that shower head is there for you to serve, not for you to think, yes, I'm the enjoyer, and like that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's how, whatever you're doing, you can see this by using this technical processes. So this is mechanical, but its goal is Krishna, therefore it's fine. But to be mechanistic like this and not be Krishna, then that's a waste of time, because mechanism is work. Right? Remembering Krishna, that's spontaneous, that's no work. But if that's not happening, then to use these mechanical methods, then that is, it's work. And so therefore, why should your work be wasted? So the work should be useful, so that means you should be connected to Krishna.
That means we have to come out from this being accustomed to just do everything for yourself, to actually think of who you're doing it for.
Yes.
And then start with that, and then gradually, while you're doing the activity, then it becomes more and more prevalent.
Yeah, then Krishna becomes more of the thing, because these things become habit after a while. Then it's Krishna, because if it's Krishna, then you start remembering Krishna, instead of the mechanics of what's going on. In the beginning, you may remember the mechanics of it. But the point is if showerhead's Lakshmi cleanliness is Krishna, then you remember Krishna, and then you remember some pastime or something that he's doing, and then you're taking your bath, and you're not even worried about your shower or anything like that. You're doing it out of habit because you have practice, but you're remembering Krishna as a person. So that's what you're trying to get to. You know, this use of this mechanics is not the goal. The use of this mechanics is an aspect of the process if the spontaneous remembrance of Krishna isn't affected. Like Krishna says in the Gita, first option, just surrender to him, become a pure unalloyed devotee this nanosecond. Why wait? If you can do that, then follow Pancharatra. If you can't do that, then you start following the Vedic. But Naishkama, if you can't do that, then follow the Vedic Sakama. You can't do that. Just be a nice guy, open hospitals, feed people, you know, give to the poor, you know, turn the other cheek, do all that kind of jazz. You can't do that. Then okay, then be an impersonalist. Like that. So that's basically bottom of the barrel.
You're pointing, is the difference between ritual and routine?
Ritual and routine, it's the same thing. Ritual and routine are the same.
But not in consciousness. Like, maybe it's epistemology, but I mean, the karmis, they will do all sorts of things, on and on and on and on, but they never become conscious of Krishna. Well, you know, you brush.
No, but smartest don't either. It's just, the point is that unless you're wanting to see it in connection to Krishna, how are you going to? Because it is Krishna, so it's up to you whether you want to see it or not. It's not a matter of, well, this could be connected to Krishna. No, it already is. It's a matter of whether you want to acknowledge that and see that or not. It's not a matter of, well, I can take my bath, or I can take my bath and remember Krishna. No, because it's actually a bath, and I can add Krishna to this. No, your bath and everything is Krishna. It's just a matter of whether you want to recognize it as Krishna or not.
By doing it every day, then as soon as I will come to my bath, then, you know,
yes, because that by practice, then this is what you get. That's why sadhana bhakti is you are performing favorable activities that are, you're performing favorable activities that are important for your own development of your devotion to the Lord. Right? Sadhana means is things of practice. It's not something else. Does that make sense?
It seems to be kind of a reconditioning.
Reconditioning? No, it's called removal of conditioning. Okay. It's clearing away. See, because you're saying reconditioning, is you're thinking it's an alternative. No, it's what it is, removal of the illusion, because this is what actually is going on. You know what I'm saying? Is that like this? You have a rope that you think is a snake. So because you think it's a snake, you deal with it in one way. But if we philosophically convince you that, you know, it's not a snake, it's actually a rope, then is that like an alternative way of dealing with it, or is that actually the way of dealing with it? You think it's a snake. It's not a snake, it's a rope. So you have developed this whole ritual on how to deal with it, this whole perception and all that. But that's illusion. It's actually a rope. You know what I'm saying? You've turned it into a snake, but it's a rope. You understand? So the illusion is to think that there's anything in this creation that's not connected with Krishna. And it's not just a combination of his energies interacting with each other. You know what I'm saying? So this whole point of the transformation, the Parinamabad, that the Lord in his energies is transformed into everything there, that's there. But the point is we're in illusion and don't see that that's what's happening. You know what I'm saying? You're sitting on the ground now, right? Yes? Okay. Now, it's not actually so hard, right? Because underneath there are bricks, right? And it's also, because it's getting colder now, it's not so cold, right? So therefore, the action of softness and warmth is happening, are qualities of Krishna. Lakshmi is attaining that through that of a wool blanket that's being used as an asan. So the principle of asan and the wool, that's Lakshmi. And then the warmth and the softness, that's Krishna. So now you just think there's a blanket on the floor. That's the illusion. You think it's the blanket's keeping me warm. Or the blanket's making it's not so hard. You know what I'm saying? But the blanket is the gross form that Lakshmi manifests in pursuance of service to Krishna as the quality of softness or warmth. That's what's actually going on. Everything in the creation is Lakshmi Narayan. There isn't anything else. In illusion, we think it's something else. So that's why many times devotees come up with, well, we could do Varnashram, or we could do this, or we could do that. No. You can either recognize God's position or be an illusion. Those are your two options. Within illusion, of course, you have lots of you want to be, you know, how you say, democratic, or, you know, this and that. Whatever it is you want to do, you can do that, but it's still all illusion. So it doesn't really matter whether it's this illusion or that illusion. Does it really matter? You know, it's like if you're out in the desert and thirsty and you see an oasis, does it matter really if that oasis has coconut trees, or, you know, you like big oak trees, you know, they're very nice and cooling, or whether the lake is blue waters or it's green waters? Does it matter whether the sands are, you know, the regular reddish sands, or is it, you know, those nice white sands you get in some places? Does it matter what kind of fish are in the water there? Does it matter? No, because it's all illusion. So that's the thing. No, I think it should have, you know, coconut trees. You know, it's more, because then you have the coconuts there, and that's better. Well, if you have oak trees, what are you going to do with an oak, you know, an acorn out in the middle of the desert, you know? But it's all an illusion anyway. Does that make sense? The reality is, so it says, it's a lock went on. That's supposed to have a lock on there, a little red lock, come on. I mean, I don't know, it just showed it, a little lock. Does that make sense? So all there is God consciousness. There isn't any other alternative. Your alternative is illusion, which means you don't realize that all there is God. It's not because I'm in illusion and I see it this way, that's the reality. It's illusion. Right? Because there's only one reality, and that's God. And you can have unlimited perceptions as long as you are perceiving God. Otherwise, your unlimited perceptions are all illusion. Does this make sense? Like that. Okay. Today is Monday, right? So then tomorrow we'll see what Vachaspati Misra has to say. So then, why there's a difference in what they have to say. Jai. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Vaita Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitya Gaura Premanandi.